Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Monday morning. That means it is time to check in with Pastor Joshua Shear at Brothers of John the Steadfast. Good morning, Pastor Shear.
Good morning, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing all right. And you, sir?
I'm doing well.
Good, good. Glad to hear your voice. What do you have for us this morning at Brothers of John the Steadfast?
Well, I've got a couple articles I want to highlight today, and that is they don't get a lot of focus on when they go on the site, but they're very good. Very good articles, one which is titled Trinity, World Famous Humble Little Country Doctor. It's by a layman out of Sydney, Montana, T.R. Halverson, and he writes these series of different devotionals on the Trinity as he's trying to emphasize the Trinitarian relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this one he borrows from Charlie Brown about how Linus wants to be a humble little country doctor, but only in the aspect of during the day. But, you know, he lives in the city and has all the sports cars and everything else besides. So the difficulty is, of course, that, you know, we always want God to show up in all of his glory, or maybe at least some of his glory. You know? We always want God to show up so that we would know, you know. Then we will see him, and then we'll, you know, worship him. But God, of course, doesn't often show up that way. And T.R. does a great job of describing even how in the Trinity God doesn't do that. That God in the three persons does not, you know, each person does not glorify himself, but instead it's the other persons who glorify the person. And so it's never Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, glorifying himself. Instead, it's him glorifying the Father, and then the Father glorifies the Son. And all these different ways in which the Trinity himself shows humility and shows his greatness, but not in the way that we would want it to happen. And so it's just really interesting to note that in Scripture, and it's probably something that a lot of listeners have never thought of before, as T.R. is kind of trying to dive into what we know of the Trinity from Scripture and finding neat things like this about the humility of each person of the triune God, and how the Father is not seeking his own glory, the Son is not seeking his own glory, and the Spirit is not seeking his own glory. You know, of course, with the Spirit, we have the example that, you know, he points to Jesus. That, you know, the Holy Spirit's not going to point to himself. He's going to point, using all that he has, to point to Christ. And then, of course, Christ honors the Father. And then the Father, throughout the Scriptures, is the one glorifying and honoring the Son. And so you just have this very humble relationship between the persons of the triune God. And it's very good to be reminded of. Especially in those times in life when we kind of want God to show up in at least some of his glory. You know, where are you, God? Show your face. Well, he's humble, and for a reason. So it's a good little devotion to focus on and to read maybe for the beginning of this week as we embrace all of our vocations and get back to work and so forth. So I think it could be a good one to remind ourselves of our God and he tends to work humbly.
And
I think the concept of vocation itself might prove some of that.
Sure. How the nature of God, how the nature of God, I like how you pointed that out, how he pointed out that God is humble in many ways, and how the Son never glorifies himself, but rather glorifies the Father. And wow, what that means for us too. That's
right.
A great point. I hadn't really thought of it that way before.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, to flip to the other end of the spectrum, I have another article entitled Satan's Angelic Disguises. You know, now the opposite of humility, of course, is the devil. And the devil takes pride in showing up, you know, in something that he isn't. He'll gladly have himself glorified. And, of course, this is an article with Pastor Eric Anderson. And he writes about, you know, it's easy when the devil shows up, And you see him with the horns and hooves and pitchfork and so forth. But the devil is more subtle than that. And, of course, St. Paul captures this when he says that the angel, you know, he can appear himself, disguise himself as an angel of light. And that this goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, when the devil is crafty or subtle or other verbs that are used for the devil as a serpent's behavior in tricking the woman, later renamed Eve, into taking in eating the forbidden fruit. Well, the devil does this, and the pawns of the devil, those false teachers, show up as wolves in sheep's clothing that they're there to seek out and devour people. And just a really good article about the nature of the devil, but you know that he will show up with horns and a pitchfork sometimes, but not usually.
Rarely, huh?
Rarely, right? And he'll try to mask himself and play God, because that's, of course, his deal, is he wants to be God. And he hates the true God, and he hates the true God's Christians, and so he's going to do whatever he can, even if it means masking himself for a second, in order to come after and be victorious in his respect. Of course, we know that's not true, that he's not going to be victorious, but that doesn't stop the battle from continuing to rage on, and that doesn't help, you know, with wolves in sheep's clothing. And, of course, Pastor Anderson brings it up at the end of this, that, you know, how do you tell? You know, this is why learning your catechism, learning your Bible are so important. Because the wolves in sheep's clothing don't come with just a whole ton of lies. They come with, you know, one or two lies. And as Jesus and also as Paul warned, you know, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. That, you know, all it takes is for that one little lie to take root. And all of a sudden you're jumping into all kinds of crazy stuff. And so this is a good warning, but also an encouragement to get into the Word, to get into the Catechism, to memorize the Catechism, to think about the Catechism, and to start thinking about the things around you using that Catechism, and to check these things, mm-hmm. even if they come from popular preachers. I would say especially if they come from popular preachers, because popularity brings its own temptations for a teacher. To become a false teacher, real easy. But check these things against the Word of God, because it's that Word of God that defeats devil, that, you know, shows him for who he is. It's the Word of God which will take the sheep's clothing off of a wolf and expose the wolf so you know what's going on. It always goes back to that Word, and what the Word of God can and will do is it will give you discernment. And we'll also be able to expose the error. And of course, that's a wonderful thing that God has given us this Word. It's a wonderful thing to have it condensed down into something like the Catechism, where we can study it and get a little compendium of what it teaches, and use that in our day-to-day lives too. So that's how we guard. That's mm-hmm. how we guard against these things. This is how we defend against them, is we get in the Word, we get in the Catechism, and we stay there.
Sure.
And we judge everything we see based upon it, whether it's whether it's a teacher on you know, a preacher on TV, all the way down to a classroom teacher who's trying to teach you about some kind of strange worldview that leads you away from the Scriptures, because it's in the small stuff that the devil tries to steer you away. So that's just kind of a good reminder of mm-hmm. the nature of the devil, but also as Christians, what great weapons and tools we have that have been provided to us by our gracious God for that very purpose, that we would know who he is and what his work is, and so we could rightly discern that's God and that's not.
Mm-hmm. That's important for us to be equipped with God's Word, so that we are prepared for whatever we may face each day. That's
absolutely.
You were talking about the catechism and studying the catechism. That's one of the reasons why we've added to the beginning of his time praying the catechism at the beginning of the day. We pray the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer each morning now here on his time as we start our day. So
that's excellent.
Yeah,
yep. That's one of the neat things about the catechism, is its ability to be used devotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully you maybe have a show sometime on your Faith and Family show about maybe how to use the catechism devotionally.
Absolutely.
We good one.
Yeah, we did that about a year ago. Every once in a while we bring that back up as an encore with Dr. Mark Thompson. We brought his whole family in and prayed the catechism together as family devotions. It was a nice program.
That's good. Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Never hurts to have that exhortation and example and encouragement.
Absolutely.
So, especially for families. So, you bet.
Well, thanks, Pastor. Thanks, Pastor Scheer. Always good to hear from you. And we'll talk again next week.
All right, excellent. Have a good week, man.
Thank you. You too. And listeners, don't forget, you can read these articles and more at steadfastlutherans.org. Go check it out, steadfastlutherans.org. You can read those two articles that Pastor Scheer mentioned and find others right there. We've got an encore presentation with encore conversation with Dr. Bob Weiss coming up in just a little bit. Stick around for more of his time right after this break on Worldwide KFUO.